Well, we're still looking in the subject of keys to the move of God. And we want to see, we're going to find tonight, we're going to look and go over to an example in the Bible. One of the things that's really an important example in the book of Exodus. We want to go to the book of Exodus. Because we want to see these keys, because these are the keys of foundation in the beginning. God's deliverance of Israel out of Egypt is a type of our salvation. It's a type of our covenant. And so the scripture does tell us that the things that were written, it says, you know, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And so when we sit down and look at these things, is one of the things we want to do is realize, see, many people, you know, the Old Testament to most people are just stories, and they're fun stories, but people don't realize, you know, the promises God made. As we go on and teaching this, we're going to find that the promises God made that concerning Abraham and his seed are our promises too, the Bible tells us. You know, how could this be written for our admonition if it isn't ours? You know, who cares? I mean, to me, most of the church world could tear the Old Testament up and throw it away because they don't use it. I mean, from the standpoint, it's just, there's stories about, but they're not for us, they're for Israel. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. And so when we find the patterns, why? God never changes. Get that in your mind. When you read the Bible and you write, God doesn't change. Now, there's things that we look along and it seems to us that things are different, but we need to understand covenant. But God doesn't change concerning covenant. He makes covenant with people. He doesn't, he never went along. You know, the Bible tells us concerning our covenant, it's based on better promises. So I can look at any good God did for Israel and I say, he'll do better for it. Why? I'm a better covenant. If it isn't better, if they had better things in theirs than we have in ours, then our covenant is not better. But ours is a better covenant. So why? It's got better stuff in it. And so if it's just like this, if, you know, is a $10 bill better than a $5 bill? Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, there are five, you know, there's two $5 bills and a $10 bill. So it does, you know, it doesn't say, you know, there's, you know, a seven and a one and a, you know, something and a two or something. No, there's those $5 bills, or it takes two of them to make that. And you need to understand, the covenant doesn't have the good that's in the other. It's not a better covenant. And ours is, because it has what they had and more. I remember the Lord dealing with me numbers of years ago and said to me, he said, because the Bible says all the promises of God in the New Testament are yes and amen. And the Lord spoke to me while I was reading that and said to me, he said, all my promises, he said, any promise I made in the book, he said, is yes and amen to you. Because all the promises, he didn't say only the promises that I said in the New Testament. No, people read that into it. No, all the promises, he said, the promises I made in the past, I'll keep with you. The first promise that God ever made to me when I was only just a couple months old as a Christian, he said, told me to go to read the 128th Psalm. Came out of the Old Testament. And that psalm says, a man who fears the Lord and walks his way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house and his children, as olive plants around his table. And he said to me, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. He used that promise. Now, if those promises are only for Israel, then I guess the devil talked to me. But God didn't know. Poor guy. And you know what? That promise has been kept with me. So it must work.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. The good things that Israel got, we got them and better. Hallelujah. They're ours. Now, in the book of Exodus, Israel went into Egypt. God sent them there. God took them there to that place. And so God had a plan. One of the things it tells us in Scripture, if you want to read, which we can't go through all of it, it tells us why God took Israel over into Egypt. He was giving those nations that were in their land time to repent. God is amazing. He's very long-suffering. Very long. He was giving those nations time to repent. In other words, they knew things that they were doing wrong. But God gave them time. When God took them into the land, Israel became the nation, really, it was their judgment against them. Now, if we take them going into the land, from the end of the book of Genesis to the time that Israel left, to really the book of Exodus is 400 years have passed. And so we can look at this as what God was doing here. Well, the children of Israel went there, and they were blessed in the land of Egypt, but it came along, and there, if you read the whole story, you find that there's a Pharaoh, the Pharaoh that they knew died, and there was another one come up who didn't know what God did through Joseph and things, and so he didn't know. But they just started to oppress the children of Israel. Now, we want to look at this because we're looking at keys, and really we're looking at the keys concerning with power and prayer and prosperity. And we see here an example with this. One of the things we did talk about in teaching about these keys of how close the really runs in the areas of prayer and power together. And so we see this, and I'm just going to use one of the scriptures in Exodus, the second chapter. In verse 23, it says this: "Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage." So they came up to God crying out. Now understand this. If you don't understand and read about Abraham and things and God's promise to Abraham, When they went into the land, Abraham, they passed things on down the line, and they knew this, that they were in the land for a period of time. They were going to be there. They had the promise concerning God's told Abraham concerning his descendants. They were going to go down to Egypt, and they were going to be there 400 years. He told them. So they were down there. Actually, they were there like 425, I think it was, something like that. Anyhow, they were there for that period of time. And so they're calling out to God, and this is one of the things you need to learn this principle. If you don't know what the Word says and what God says, you can cry out to God in trouble, and you might have a problem getting help. See, one of the things is, we talked about the fact of if you take with Moses, God wanted to destroy the children of Israel after Moses came down off the mountain. God wanted to, you know, God was fed up with them. But what did Moses do? Moses went and went to what God's promises said, what God had spoken concerning Israel, and he brought it up to God. You need to understand this. If you don't know the Word, if you don't know what it says, you're in trouble, because you can't go before God and say, "Hey, your Word says." See, many people are praying and asking God for things, but they have no place of faith to ask, because they don't know the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. You can't pray to God by faith what you do not know that He said He would do. You can't pray. See, their prayer went up and God heard them. They must be talking to God about whatever it is, about that 400-year thing. "Hey, God, hold it. We're down here. You know, we're in trouble down here. Your Word says something." In Isaiah 43:26 says this, and it's a good verse to remember. Isaiah 43:26 says, "Put me in remembrance, let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted." Say, do you have the Word? The covenant, it's just like a thing. You can get upset at a company doing something, like say you have something you purchased, they have a warranty. You know, in that warranty, if you don't know what that warranty is, or you're one of those people who just throw warranties away, and you don't know what that warranty is on that thing, you can't go against them on something unless you know it states in the warranty that they would cover certain things. Well, a covenant, that's like a covenant. A covenant's the same way. God expects us. God gave us the warranty book. This is a covenant book. Now, we have an Old and New Testament, but it would be better written Old and New Covenant. Because we don't use the word testament today. We don't use that term. You know, this is like a will, or we say testament. This is God's will to us. This is His will. So I can look at anything in here that God's will, it belongs to me, that the Word states. You can't know or have faith that it belongs to you if you do not know what it says. You can't. See, many people pray things and asking God, and it sounds very nice, but they have no guarantee. They don't know if it belongs to them. You know, it is many times with people, like, you know, Sherry in the beginning was talking about the story of this lady. She wanted prayer for a certain thing, but she had no idea what the Bible said about it. She couldn't have any faith for it. She wanted it. God may want it for her, but she has no basis of faith till she finds out what the Word says. That's why don't quickly pray for people. Don't get so quick about many people want things, and it might even be what God wants them to have. But faith is what pleases God, not their want or need. If you have a place of faith, then you qualify. You can go to God and bring Him into remembrance. And you say, Lord, you said you would do this. Praise God. And I'm just believing that's what you're going to do. You're not trying to convince Him of it. It's about you. It's about your faith. It's not about His willingness. He is always willing to fulfill His word. Always. God is always willing to fulfill His word. If it's not, it's on our side. Where is it over here? See, many people, they want things. Yeah, you know, God wants, the Bible says He wants good things. Well, what good things? What good things does He want for me? God will supply all my needs. Well, you know, if I need, what is it from a need? Well, what need did He say He'd supply? See, most people say, God supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Well, He don't give everything to everybody that they want, does He? Maybe a lot of things they want, He wants them to have, but they don't get it. Why? What is your need? It's like when the Lord dealt with me back in 2014, and I talked to Him about the need things, about what our need is. He said, I don't develop the need, you do. And I'm like, oh, they never told us that. Nobody ever told us. He said, you decide what your need is. I don't. Well, how did I decide? My need was decided by what I knew of the Word. Your need isn't decided by your fleshly desires or even what in your heart you'd like to have. God will give you the desires of your heart if you can respond by faith. But you can have desires in your heart and they never get fulfilled. Faith is how you do it. Well, the Lord said to me, He said, in your heart, see, and it's number one, I was looking at need from naturally about many things, and He said, you have always said that you're going to have, you know, enough that you can give to every good work. So He said, your need's big. He said, you'll need millions to fulfill that. And I stopped, said, He said, you put that in your heart. He said, you've said that for years on end. He said, that's in your heart. You see, we sit around need. Most people think what's need, what I can get by with. And that's what they do, just get by with. That's exactly where they live, get by with. Because that's what they're believing. And then they're saying when they pray, they don't step out there. You got to find out what's really in your heart. What are you saying and what are you doing? What is it in you that you put in you? Are you listening? See, that's why it doesn't do you any good to even from the word standpoint carry it in prayer if it ain't in your heart. Mm-hmm. And what's in your heart? Many times people have more in their heart than they're praying. So they're not really in faith. Faith are words that come from your heart, not come just because it came from your mouth. It may not have been a faith or what it's in your heart. So we have to know what's in our hearts. This is really important. Because God's responded to them. He couldn't have responded to Israel just because they're groaning and moaning. Does He do that? Is that what the Bible teaches us to do? So if it was in this world, who would He be responding to? Well, He'd be responding to everybody all the time, loads of, because most people are groaning and moaning. Is that what's working? Is that what's happening? No. Remember, God always moves in line with His word. He always does. Now, He's very merciful and kind. We know because man is still existing on the earth. So we know He's very merciful and kind. We know that He's very long-suffering. Because He hasn't thrown us under the bus. You know, that's right. You have deserved it. We have deserved this. But He's been kind in spite of us. Hallelujah. He's very merciful. But I found this out. I don't want to just live under God's mercy. I want to be a worker together with Him. Thank God for He's merciful. But I'll tell you what, people have gone too long on His mercy, and it's going to run out for many people.
Amen.
Many people, it has run out. We need to stop. See, people, I learned this. You just don't keep taking, just like with people, you can't just keep taking advantage of somebody all the time. God's no different.
Amen.
God will come along where He'll put the halt to it. No, we can't go any further with this. And so we want to. But find out what's in your heart. What do you put in there? If you spend years putting words in your Word of God in your heart, well, that's what you want to get hooked up with. Don't live the life out of your intellect. Your prayer life should not be out of your intellect. It should be out of your heart. That's the place that gets things done. That's where the power's at. Well, they cried out to God. God had given them a promise. Well, and we found, we used in Isaiah that word there to put me in remembrance. The Amplified Bible says of that scripture, I like it, it says, remind me of your merits and thorough report. Let us plead and argue our case together. State your position that you may be proved right. See, God wants to know what you know. He knows everything. You ain't telling Him anything you don't know. This is about our side. You prove yourself. You know, you got to learn to become a good lawyer for yourself. Mm-hmm. Most Christians are living off of other people. That's all they do. They're living off of other people. They're leaving off the wisdom of other people. They're asking other people to pray to do things for them and doing this stuff. This is what they're doing. They don't know how to. I learned to be a lawyer. I learned to plead my case to God. I learned to take my case to God and say, hey, Lord, you said this. This is what you're doing. Now, I know you're most, and I know, but I talk to Him. I say, now look, you're a God that does right. I always talk to Him like He's going to do what I want. I never beg before God. I have no reason to. The people who beg before God are looking for mercy because they don't have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you're begging for something. You're looking for mercy. Faith comes in and say, God, your word says this and you're so good. I know you'll do this for me. Why? Because your word says so. And I just want to thank you how great you are and how wonderful you are. You're a God who carries out His word and I can trust you and I just want to thank you. And I thank Him for the fact you gave me your word. You did this for me. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate that. Now, people go from a beggar. They're trying to twist His arm. I'm going before a judge who's on my side. I'm in a fixed system. And you are. Start acting like you're in a fixed system.
Amen.
It's fixed to your benefit. Just like with Israel in the earth. Israel was God's covenant people, and God responded to Israel like nobody else. Nobody else did He ever respond to like He did to Israel. The church, He will respond to greater than He'll respond to Israel. Our covenant is a greater covenant. And see, this is what you have to do. You're in this covenant. He tells you to come. You don't have to hire a lawyer. Jesus said, now just think about this. If you understand this, this is why Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. You don't have to ask Jesus to come on the scene. Just use His name.
Amen.
The Father will respond to it. See, if God said it in His word, you know what? Become a name dropper. Be the name dropper. That's what I say. Excuse me, Father, but Jesus said. My Lord, whose authority of heaven and earth, the Father responds to authority He has given Jesus. Jesus is the high priest. He is also called our advocate, which means this. He's the lawyer. He's our lawyer. And then He delegated His lawyer authority to you and I. You know, you go down to a district attorney. A district attorney has all kind of attorneys working under them. And they work under the authority of that whoever's the head district attorney. And so they work under. Well, in a sense, that's what we do. Jesus Christ is the district attorney of heaven and earth. And we're working under Him. So get to work. Don't be a beggar. Your job, you know, be a prosecutor. See, you go out here in the name of Jesus. You see evil. You see what the devil's doing. Well, take authority over him. Quit whining to Jesus about your problems.
That's right.
Stand up in the name of Jesus. See, be the lawyer. Take the authority. Hallelujah. No, you're not getting on it. I'm going to judge you on this, Satan. You ain't going to keep this stuff up.
Amen.
See, this is where we step in and take our legal authority. What most of the church operates is a policeman. Policemen don't try people, and they don't dictate out sentences. They don't do none of that. They can turn around and arrest people, and the district attorney can let them go. I'm going to tell you what. Too many Christians, they're nothing but policemen, and the devil gets let go all the time. He's always let go. He gets to harass them and do things to them. No, you do the sentencing. You get, this is the way it's going to be. Hallelujah. You ain't getting away with this, devil. You're not going to run this show. Hallelujah. See, get thinking like that. God wants you. God comes. You can stand before God concerning His Word, and He ain't going to stop and say, we're not going to. I've changed what I'm going to do. I grew up under religion and able to fact, God can do anything He wants, that we don't, He don't have to. Well, what's the point of the Word if He can? Nobody can trust Him. We can't trust what He's going to do because we wouldn't know what it was. So therefore, there would never be faith. There's not faith. That's why I take the time. If you want something, God, take time and find scripture to give you, if you can't go online, you can go online and do searches on a thing and you have a question on, and you'll find that they'll show you all kinds of scriptures will show up on the things. If you're too lazy to do that and you just go to praying and you really don't know, you shouldn't get anything because it's laziness. We can easily find out things. We have it so easy at our fingertip. If you'd sit down and think about in the Old Testament, if they'd had something like that, what they'd have thought? But we have today, and people still won't do it. I've asked me, people come and ask me to look it up for them. I tell them, go there, you lazy thing. You go look it up. So you want me to look it up? It'll cost you $100.
Yeah.
I don't work for you. And if it's over 20 minutes, it's $200. But you got to do it to people. People are, they don't take a time. You go after it. You're the attorney. You search out the case, and then you go to God. This is what He's waiting for. This is what He's waiting for. Say, Lord, this ought to be done this way. This ought to be done this. Your Word says this. Now, if there's something in the Word I don't see, you show me. Show me what's in the Word. I'll go whatever it is the Word says to do, and we'll do it. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes in the Word, we'll show you different ways that you can accomplish the same thing. People got healed on many different ways in Scripture. They got healed many different ways. And there isn't just one way. And you have to find out. Sometimes you can pray for a person a certain way. Sometimes it won't work to pray for certain people certain ways. That's why you be led by the Spirit of God. Because you can sit down and people have just a general prayer that they pray. But I'll tell you, it won't work all the time for everything. Because you're going to find out sometimes there's things and reasons why God moves in certain ways. For as many as are led by the Spirit, not as many as are led by your prayer. So you listen to the Spirit. The Spirit's showing you to do something different. I found out lots of times, when I was in full gospel businessmen and ministering and stuff to people, we ministered a lot of healing to a lot of people. Generally, you're laying hands on people and praying, but every once in a while, things were just different. God was doing something else. And sometimes how He shows stuff. I was in one meeting, all of a sudden sitting there minding my own business. We were doing it, and they were actually, it was one of the guys who was up front and was asking people about up for prayer for things. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I get this severe pain in my chest. I mean, it was just like something hit me in the chest. And at first I'm thinking, man, what happened to me? What's wrong? And I just feel this terrible pain. And what happened to me? And then all of a sudden I realize, this isn't me. This is somebody else has this pain. And I thought, where on earth they got this pain? So I said to the other guy, I want to talk to people. And I said, is there somebody out here? And I said, you're having severe pain in your chest. And this guy raised his hand. Well, it turned out, I told him to come up. I wanted to minister to him. He came up. He had gotten kicked by a cow before he came to the meeting and stuff. And he was a farmer. He got Mennonite guy. He got kicked in the chest. I don't know if you've ever been around cows and cows kick. Cows don't have to try to kick hard and they can hurt you. Anything big like that, it can. And he got kicked in the chest by a cow. So you know what you're doing? Now, this is my thought. My thought is, I'm going to lay hands on, pray for his healing. I laid my hands on him. Now, because there was an anointing on me to pray. It was an anointing. God, was going to do something. There was anointing. There's anointing on me to pray. I laid my hand on him. I started to pray for healing, and the anointing lifted up on me. And I thought, well, that's weird. So I went back again, laid my hand on him, started to pray, healing anointing left. But he kept getting this inside my spirit, not a voice, some inside my spirit, kept baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, why am I thinking about that? This guy needs healing. But you know what? This guy's not going to get healed till I obey. I'm going to tell you what. There's people won't get healed because you won't obey. Oh, what'll happen to you? I'll guarantee you. It'll happen to you. See, don't get stuck over on your thing. Just like that. That guy, I did it 3 times in a row, the anointing left. Finally, I stopped and said, let me ask you something. I said, it keeps coming. I said, have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, would you like to? He said, yeah. I laid my hand on him. He got healed and filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. See, God had something he wanted to do. But unless I cooperated, it wasn't happening. You need to understand that about yourself. We are led by the Spirit. If God's showing you something concerning an individual, listen. Listen to it. God wants to use you. Because a lot of times, I found this out in those situations. You're ministering to a lot of people that don't know things. And God is using you, and you want to be... If you want to lead, you got to listen. Leadership with God is not doing our own thing. It is not. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit, what he says to do. You see, I learned this. The Lord spoke to me back some time ago about ministering healing to people the way he wants me to do it, to minister healing to them. He told me exactly what I was supposed to do. He said, generally, you minister to people this way. He said, but you pay attention to me when I want to do something different. See, God may tell you to do certain things a certain way, but you pay attention. You're going to find this out. He doesn't do it that way all the time. You listen. He may use you a certain way pretty much, but you need to pay attention because sometimes he doesn't want to do it that way. He wants to do something else. Say, well, why does he do that? Because he's God, you not, and he didn't ask you to understand it. He just asked you to obey it. Because you're ministering to people, and it's about them. It's not about you. We're too much in the picture too many times. It's easy to get yourself in the picture, because when God uses you, people want to put you in the picture all the time. And they will give you a big head if you let them. They'll give you, you'll think you're wonderful. And you ain't wonderful because it ain't you.
Amen.
I don't heal people.
Amen.
God does. He uses me.
Mm-hmm.
He even manifests his power through me at times. But you know, it ain't Ed. He throws the switch. You just got Ed. That's all you got. Good luck. Get yourself in that way. Get yourself to understand. I'm just a conduit. That's it. I'm just a piece of wire in the circuit. Hallelujah. And get yourself over that. You know, the wires in your place where you live, the wires in here, they can't boast that they're in. They don't make anything work. They're just a wire that runs through there. The electricity does. You can plug it in, right? No electricity, and those wires mean nothing. And so get yourself in that thought and in that way. You know what? It takes pressure off of you. Because when you think you're something and it don't work, the first thing the devil will carry you off and make you feel so guilty. What's wrong with you? And you think, well, you know, I got to make this work. I got to do it. After a while, you're trying to do things God ain't even telling you to do. You don't want to do that. See, it takes the pressure off of you. See, we think, you know, too much of Christianity has this idea. They feel like, you know, we're trying to make this stuff happen and we got to do all this stuff. That works. You know, God will use us. You get the fact, he uses us. We're not using him. And let him use it. I guarantee this. People would get used a lot more if they took on the fact of it. I'm not a performer. I'm not doing that. He's called me to do certain things, and I go out. I just go do it. I just go out there and I do these things. I just listen to what he says. What I know to do, I'll just walk in, but I'll keep my ear toward him, but he wants it. It's his working. Always give him the glory for it. Always magnify him for what is done and that stuff. Never let people think that you're something great. Because I guarantee you, you do that, you'll end up patting yourself on the back, and it will cost you eventually. Not a good place to go. You never take glory to yourself.
Amen.
We don't take that. Thank God. I'm just so grateful God, you know, in His great kindness and mercy, uses me. Hallelujah. I'm just glad He uses me as a piece of wire in the system. Hallelujah. The glory to God. But He's working. But let's get ourselves over into that. Israel cried out to God. They went to God. Now, the whole thing of it is, we look at these stories. Lots of times we don't recognize concerning faith. We just see, we're like, well, they cried out to God. So if you cried out, I heard minister say, you cried out to God, He'll help you. Well, I hear loads of people over the years. I've watched over the years thousands of people cry out to God. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. You know, we understand from the New Testament, without faith, you can't please God. We know David pleased God. He pleased Him. David and his faith toward God. We need to understand these principles. They had to be calling out to God by faith. They had to be calling on what they were told and what Abraham had said and passed on down the line through Isaac and Jacob of what was going on and what was going to happen. So they're following God. Now, in Exodus 3, in the Exodus, the third chapter, in verse 7 says this, the Lord said something here. He said in Exodus 3 and verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, it says sorrows. Actually, in that word really means to be pains, because they're suffering. I mean, they're literally, physically suffering. God says He saw it. Now, in other words, they came to the point, you know, they had to respond to Him. He didn't move. You think He hadn't seen what was going on beforehand? People are waiting for God to respond to them because they're in trouble. Not unless you talk to Him about it. Not unless you talk to Him. They're in a painful situation. They're really oppressed. They're really in tough shape. And things are not good for them. But God heard their cry. He had seen the oppression, but He heard their cry. So when they called out to Him, that's the response. Then God responded to them. This is one thing, is it? You know, it's getting over. It's amazing. If you go over and look at Jeremiah prophesied and said that Israel in 70 years, they were taken off to Babylon. In 70 years, they had returned to the land. And so Ezekiel turned around and began to pray about them getting returned to the land. Daniel prayed about it. He began to pray because he saw the prophecy. So he went to God. You said in 70 years they're supposed to be released. He started praying. Israel waited too long. They spent more time than they had to. You may spend more time than you have to. That's why stay close to what the Word says. Find out what the Word says about your deliverance and don't wait till it gets out of hand, then you won't deliver. You know, most people should be after God when their first of the situation starts, but most people keep waiting till they can't tolerate it, then they want to go to God. No, I learned to, you know, like with me, sickness, I mean, I just get an inkling it might show up. That's all I need. I don't wait till I feel bad. You know, no, I'm sorry. The promise is in the book. I ain't got to wait. I don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You know, this is why to learn to walk by faith, you'll keep your faith in operation and you'll keep a lot of things off of you. You won't have to deal with a lot of things. You keep your faith. You keep believing the right things and talking the right things and saying the right things. Keep speaking what the Word of God says is going on around you and happening around you instead of speaking about what's happening around you. Don't do that. Speak about what the Word says. Say about yourself what the Bible says you are. Speak about those things about yourself. Keep saying them. You know, keep that stuff out there. Don't let things, there's so many, you're living in this world, there's stuff that comes along and happen and that stuff. But man, there's many things that we would have never have happened if people would be walking and saying the right things and doing right things. There's lots of things that wouldn't happen. So keep yourself up. It doesn't mean nothing's ever going to happen, because it will. In the world, there's trouble. Yeah, there is. But let's not let the devil bring more than his share of what belonged to us. You know, if other people want it, they can have it, but we have to concerning ourselves in speaking the things and doing the right things about those. Hallelujah. So God, he saw their oppression. They called to him, and he saw what was going on with them. Now, so God had a response. In other words, prayer is a key. And this is why using prayer properly is a key, because we're going to find out in this instance, it is the key to the power of God. They wanted deliverance, which is going to require power. Now, sure, they probably didn't know what God was going to do, because God's going to do something here that has never been really seen before from this measure taking place that God's going to do concerning the land of Egypt. God's going to do something here. One of the reasons, I'll tell you why this, Egypt became a great nation because of the Jews. We're blessed because of them, and they turned against them. Not a good thing. God is going to pay them back for what they did. God sent a man whose name was sent Jacob out there, and sent his son Joseph, and Joseph made that nation and the Pharaoh rich. The Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh, the leader that came in, was rich because of a guy he didn't even know. And he didn't become rich because he earned it. He just got it by inheritance from somebody. It wasn't his. He knew nothing about making this thing. But there was a guy named Joseph who made the Pharaoh rich. The Bible tells us he did. He made Pharaoh rich. So God used him. Now the leadership turns around and turns against the people of God who made that nation big. And you know what? He's going to kick all the wealth out of this nation. He's going to kick it all out of them. This is why, you know, don't get big-headed about ourselves and things like that, you know. There's a lot of things. I've learned this. There's many blessings that I have in life because of people walk before me. I've learned this. I owe a great debt to Kenneth E. Hagin of what he taught me. There's a lot that I walk in blessing because of him. There's here, you folks walk in blessing because of what God gives me through you. Exactly. What I've, we need to understand, it's always people. There's people always passing things that we get. But you know what? American church ain't good about it. Everybody's like, I did this thing. No, there's people who walk. I wouldn't have this Bible if it wouldn't have been people who walked before me, followed God, that I got this thing. People died to keep Bibles published and keep them. See, we need to understand this. What happens when we don't treat them right of the past? We might not have much of a future. I'm convinced of this, that many Christians don't have good future because they don't show any kind of gratitude or anything for people who walk before them. You know, I mean, there's one thing. My parents didn't know a lot of things that I know from Scripture, but I didn't learn them all by myself anyhow. But the whole thing of it is, thank God they walked in what they knew.
Yes.
The Lord told me the only reason I was alive because my dad was righteous before me. That's what he told me. He said, your dad walked righteous before me, and that's only because I asked him why I was alive. I did all kind. I was good at trying to do things to kill myself. I didn't specifically try to kill myself, but the things I was doing was trying to kill me. And I just kept doing them. I kept doing stuff. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how come I'm alive? I got saved. I said, how come I'm even alive? I said, I have friends that they ain't alive no more. They're dead. They're gone. Why? He said, because your father walked righteous before me. Then he said this, he told me, which I was a revelation that I got. I was only maybe a month or so old as a Christian, because when the Lord said that to me, he said, I spared Noah's family because he was righteous. He said, the Scripture never says they were. You might be here today because of people before you. You might be dead if they hadn't walked right.
Amen.
That's why I'm always very grateful. Thank God. Thank God for my dad. He didn't know a lot of things about the Bible, but what he knew, he lived and he walked it. If any man loved the Lord, he did. He loved the Lord. What he knew, he walked right. He'd have never lied, cheat, and steal. He'd have never done anything like that. We had a, from that standpoint, we had a really good model as a thing. And thank God, God honored his righteousness for my sake. See, we need to understand, he said, Israel was delivered from Egypt because of their forefathers, not because of them. How did they act when they got out and away from Egypt? They weren't delivered. They were delivered because God, the righteousness of their forefathers, God honored them. Remember those things. These are important things about, because we want to move a God. And God's not going to move because we're just so wonderful. We got things from other people. Thank God for what other people. The things that I'm just so thankful the people that I got to sit under and listen to teaching over the years, that I had the great opportunity to listen to people, the revelations that they got. How long would it taken me to get stuff? How long would it took for me to personally study and find and out things? These people had lifetimes of study and that kind of stuff. It's like Brother Hagin. When I sit down and look at Brother Hagin, how many years he was in the ministry when he found certain revelations that God gave him to me, that when I come into the kingdom, I learned them in the first year I was born again. And I learned to walk in them. All the years that he went through to really understand and to walk about, with whether it was finances or personal, from the standpoint of healing and that stuff. How quickly I learned about those things. Well, they went for years and years. Seeking God, trying to find out about these things. You couldn't get down there and they didn't have books. Like Kenneth Hagin talked about, looking books. He said, you didn't go, look for a book on healing. He said, really, it wasn't much out there in publication when he was gone. This stuff wasn't around. Those things weren't out there. People didn't know about it. And many times when people knew a little bit about it, it was more dangerous than what it was. It was good. So we have so much available to us, but you would not know it today. You wouldn't know it. So walk in the light of it. Well, in Exodus 3rd chapter, verse 19 says this. This is what God then speaks up, and he says something. Verse 19 and 20 we're going to look at. It says, but I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he'll let you go. See, the Pharaoh there in Egypt, he was a hard head. Now, we're not going to knock him. I've run into many of those. You sit and tell him and tell him and tell him. You can show him, show him, show him. And they still won't be with him. And still, they have to suffer things. It's amazing. People have to suffer things to change. I asked the Lord one time, I said, what is it with us human beings that we have to go through stuff that we never have to go through? But I said, what we have to go through sometimes to we'll make a change. I watch people that said, they will go to everything falls apart in their life. Everything goes before they'll start to do what's right. All the time. You know, many people that come to Jesus, they only come to Jesus because everything's done falling apart. They had all the opportunity. Now, if they have a slight hair of a chance, they can still get by doing what they do. They will just keep doing it till the rock falls on their head. That's the way. I asked them one time, what is wrong with us that we keep doing this? I read an article, a guy got caught up to heaven, and this angel said to him, what is wrong with the people down there that they just keep doing what they're doing? Why do they keep doing it? I mean, heaven looks down and says, those idiots are at it again. That ain't the world, the world he's looking at. He's looking in a chair. There they go again. Didn't work the last 47 times, but here they go again. it doesn't make any sense why we don't trust God. Why Christians don't trust God. Now, we have that word in our vocabulary, but it ain't always true. I don't go. I guess it's just from the natural perspective. We like to have our hand on the throttle or something or whatever it is, on the switch, Say, I'll tell you what, God, I'm just got to let you fix this thing. I've done messed it up enough. I've done stripped the gears in this thing, and I've done this. So I guess the last chance, well, it's pretty good now because I'm sitting alongside the road and it don't work no more. So, so I guess we're going to struggle to this faith thing, you know? I know none of you have ever been there. I'm only making up stories. Well, we all know people who do that and have done it. You know, watch people do it. Watch people do. I watch people just do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Christian, and they can sit and tell you the right thing to do. Oh my, hallelujah! Well, we want to look down at Exodus in the third chapter. We're going to read that again here in verse 21 and 22, and it says, this is a very important part because we're going to talk here about God's going to prosper the people. He says, verse 21, he said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her own, who dwell near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Well, now you understand this, you know, it might sound from this when he was speaking to Moses about this, this is a hard thing. But after all that has fell upon this nation, these people are willing to pay any price to get these people out the door. What do you want to leave? We don't want you here anymore because it's going to kill us. Please take what you want and go. You see, this is one thing. I never liked these so-called Christian movies like Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. Christians love those things. Wow, they're not accurate. They're terrible. They show these people coming out and they're dressed in rags. They show these people. They're loaded on carts and stuff and lame people with crutches and stuff. The Bible says the exact opposite.
That's right.
In the Psalms, it says, 105th Psalm said, there was no feeble among them. They came out with silver and gold. You see, prosperity. We see this first big major move of God. God, we see in Abraham, we see the blessing on Abraham of God, God's power that worked for Abraham. Here we see the children of Israel. It's the same things. What do we find? These keys of prayer, these keys of power, and what comes? This is God's great deliverance. This is a picture of the covenant people. This is a type of our deliverance. This is why you need to understand it. There has to be healing in our, the Red Sea the scripture tells us was a type of baptism. In other words, that was a baptism of them coming out. The land of Egypt, in the scriptures is talked about as the land of sin. It's like the land of sin. It's the devil's country. And they were delivered from that country and they're going to be taken to the land God has given them. They're being saved. This is what's happening. They're being saved. Getting saved, what was in getting saved? He didn't just take them out, good luck, try to make some money, try to get by, try to do. No, I'm going to make you rich and heal you in this covenant. This is what this is in our covenant. This is why I can't believe that people sit around and tell us, you know, well, healing ain't for the day and that stuff. Well, then what on earth was any of this about? It was none of it was for us. This is a picture of our covenant. See, healing's in our covenant. It was in their covenant. Why wouldn't it be in ours?
Amen.
Prosperity was in their covenant. Why would not it be in our covenant? It's in ours. But see, we got to change the way we think. See, we think this is some kind of benefit on the side. It is not. When I was saved, born again, God saved me from sickness and disease too. I'm as much saved from sickness and disease as I am from sin. You need to get thinking like that. If you think any way other than that, you're going to end up getting sick and trying to believe, get healing and that stuff. No, I'm going to tell you, just as much, I don't sit around, tomorrow I got to get saved again. No. Salvation was mine. Healing was mine. Prosperity's mine. It's, I have, that belongs to, it's the covenant. I've been saved from poverty. If I haven't been, then I'm under the curse.
Yes.
I have to be saved. I have to be saved from sickness and disease. I'm as much saved from sickness and disease as sin. I'm saved just as much. And so are you. Get this picture. God gave us this wonderful picture. See, and it's today. When we preach the gospel, this is what's in this kingdom. You can't have it if you're not in the covenant. This covenant things only belong to Israel in the earth. And you need to not understand this. This covenant only belongs to Christians. God might heal a sinner, but if he don't get in the covenant, he don't get nothing else. It isn't about just getting sinners healed. It's about getting them in the kingdom. If you want to keep having this stuff, you got to get into the kingdom to get it. If you want to stay in the land of sin, then you're going to have that problems over there. That stuff is what belongs to you. Your master's covenant that you have allows you to be sick and poor and whatever else. He's lording over you. He's allowed to do that to you. You know, the devil don't we allow to do this stuff to us. We let him do it to us. We allow it because of lack of knowledge of the covenant. We have lack of knowledge of the covenant. When these people came out of the land, they were well. This says there was no feeble among them. Now it wasn't, there wasn't nobody lame. Nobody, not even a lame person. Not a person. Now look, these people are going to go out and walk in the desert. They're going to go out there. Now you talk about prosperity. These people acting like hell got set out in the wilderness for 40 years because he acted like hell and their clothing nor their shoes ever wore out. My God. Sound like God really takes care of his covenant people in spite of their stupid. God is one who takes care. I should expect to have supernatural. I should expect to be able to have stuff, do stuff, be blessed. We should be able to do much better than we do, but our way of thinking is not scriptural. We have to change the way we think. You find out, when I got the revelation that I was healed, never again was healing a challenge for me. It was never anything from a standpoint of any kind of challenge. It wasn't. I got my healed thing. I thought, my God, got over thinking right about this. And when sickness came and that kind of stuff, I never changed the way I thought. No, I'm sorry. I never made any kind of big deal of anything. Something comes along. It don't matter. You know, the devil comes along. You know, a bad guy comes and knocks on the door of your house. You don't have to open the door if you don't want to.
That's right. That's right.
But this is what everybody does. They open the door and the devil comes and they open the door to sickness and disease. They open it. Now we're going to pray and try to get off of me what don't even belong to me. But see, God, you get it off me. And God's saying, I already got that off of you. Why don't you tell it no? Why don't you tell it? I'm sorry. We don't do that. We ain't putting up with that. We're not going to. That's not mine. You know, you ain't the devil. You ain't the postman at my house. You don't put nothing in the box. You put it in and I will arrest you. I'll bind you. Keep you from operating.
Amen.
You know, you go, there's plenty of houses. They want you. Go to them. But you stay away from mine. We ain't taking that today. You know, I hear Christian. Yeah, I believe God. I caught a cold. Well, why don't you go out and catch that thing for? I don't catch colds. You know, that doesn't sound funny. That's exactly what people do. And then the devil is allowed to put over because they said, I took this to myself. I did it. I made me sick. Cold was going around and I chased it down and got it. I caught it. Yep. I'll show you the net I got it with. It tried to fly away, but I'm good at catching. Say, no, I don't catch cold. We don't do that. I ain't going to. Cold comes, I say, in the name of Jesus, you ain't come to Ed's house.
That's right.
This is Ed's house right here.
Amen.
This is Ed's house.
Yep.
I am the keeper of my house, and you are the keeper of yours.
Yes.
Keep your house. Keep your house. Hallelujah. Take care of your house. Because you know what? Your spirit's going to have a hard time operating through you if your house is not taken care of. Your house can get so bad, your spirit has to leave and your house dies. You take care of your house. Look after your house. Speak the right things. Say the right things about your house. As James said, you control your tongue, you control your whole house, or you can control your whole body. In other words, you can control your house. Make sure you're saying the right things and talking the right things about yourself. Don't downgrade yourself. You know, if you're not in a condition that you like, talking about yourself and saying things ain't no help. It's going to make it worse. Start talking what the Bible says about you. Start saying what the Word says about your health. Hallelujah. Start doing those things. It'll be greatly beneficial to you to do that. Hallelujah. So we're going to end here, but we're going to go on with this more and looking at these things. But if we see these, take a hold of these things, because we see if God used these with his principles. In other words, this is God wants you to have. God wants to respond to you in prayer. Get to God's word, whatever God said. Get a hold of it. We need a move of God. One of the things we found at the time, the latter rain, pray for rain. God, we want the rain of your spirit falling. Hallelujah. We need to have that. Well, one of those things if it is, but understand this, God wants to manifest his power. Talk to him. Pray about the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. They're in the scriptures. The Bible says we're supposed to cover them earnestly. Do you ever pray about them? If you don't, you ain't earnest. You don't, you're not. And you maybe, I pray about maybe once every 2 years or something like that. Don't sound very earnest, does it? I don't. No. See, people say this, you know, people read the Bible and over anything that's important, they just pass right on. It didn't say God is going to earn it. God has already decided he wants to manifest his spirit. God put the Holy Spirit in us because he wants to manifest him. But he ain't going to manifest him. Do you want him? Through you. He might through somebody else. But do you? See, we got to get this stuff in ourselves. We want manifestations. Well, that's part of what we have to do. Do we talk to God? What if I earnestly want him? Who am I talking to about it? Wouldn't it be good to bother to talk to Ed about it? Ed don't manifest him anyhow. So don't talk. You know, Christians sit around and talk to each other about this stuff all the time. Oh man, we need to move God. We need to move God. You're talking to the wrong people. They can't do nothing about it anyhow. So talk to the one who can do about it. The gifts of the Spirit manifest as the Spirit wills. See, we don't pay any attention to what Scripture says of who we talk to and what we do. Make sure you do. You pay attention to what Scripture says about this. This is the things that we need. And people say, well, just pray and ask God to do something. What the heck does that mean? I want him to do something. Say, he is. He's ignoring you. He's doing something. That's something. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you. Lord God, your word is a delight. I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you just are so kind to continually open it to us to see the truth. Lord God, to take us further, hallelujah, to lead us on to something greater and more wonderful. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you so much for being so kind to us. Hallelujah. Lord, there's so much in areas in that stuff that we just need to be so much more fine-tuned in the areas. Lord God, you didn't call Christians to be just general Christians. You have specifics. You have specific gifts and things you want to operate through us and do. And Lord God, I thank you for opening up things for us to see and understand so we can get on your page of the book, hallelujah, instead of ours. We can get on your page to what you want to do and desire, Lord God. Father, we're just going to stay with the word. We're going to look at the word and we're going to bring it to you, hallelujah, because you're the fulfiller of the word. You desire to manifest yourself. We're not trying to convince you to. You will do it when we ask. And I just want to say thank you. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're just going to continue to be wonderful and bless and do just wonderful and gracious things. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.